Thank you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
It's Raising the Vibration right here on the Live Paranormal Radio Network. We're at liveparanormal.com and syndicated all over the world on iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, Podomatic, Blog Talk Radio. The list goes on and on. Please find us and enjoy all the broadcasts that we have throughout the week. Raising the Vibration is on every Tuesday at 5 o'clock Pacific time. It's an outreach of a nonprofit movement of peace and love and kindness and unity that I started to carry on my mama's teachings, both spiritual and humane, after her passing in 2016. Here we talk about ascending, inspiring, loving. What are you doing to make the world a better place? And since we're at Live Paranormal, and I'm your host, Sheena Metal. I'm a Sheena Metal spiritual. I'm a psychic medium. I'm an interfaith minister. And I'm a 27-year talk radio host here in Los Angeles. And here in the paranormal community, we talk a lot about why are we doing this. I'm also a paranormal investigator. I'm a paranormal survivor. I grew up in a haunted house. Why are we here trying to discover what the dead have to say to us? Is it just for fun? Is it just for sport? Is it a thrill? For some people, it is all of those things. But for others, myself included, it's also because the answers can unlock history. The answers can put people's minds and hearts and souls to rest. There is a vibrational raising in the want to contact those that have come before us or those that have passed on before their time and find out what they have to say to us. And I always think of these folks when I say this about paranormal, because these three that I'm going to have on today, my friends from Everyday Paranormal and, of course, for a long time from Discovery Channel's show Ghost Lab, are really interested in unlocking history. And being such a big history nut and such a big nut of everything that happens in the spirit world, that's kind of both the things I love together. What are we unlocking in our history? What are we learning about ourselves and humanity by solving the mystery of what is it that the dead have to say to us? It's so important that we think about that when we think about paranormal investigation. Is it also fun? Is it also a thrill? Is it also, oh, my God, I just want to get scared? Yes, it's all of those things, and isn't that wonderful? But it's also a chance to unlock history, which is so very important and so very awesome, and I'm so glad to be here and have these wonderful folks with me today. So please welcome to Raising the Vibration for the very first time my friends Brad Kling, Barry Kling, and Katie Burr from Everyday Paranormal. And from Ghost Lab. Welcome, my friends. How are you? It's wonderful to have you here.
Hey, Sheena.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate
hey, Katie.
It. No pressure, though.
Hi, guys. How are you? Right. Yeah, exactly.
We're
so welcome
great.
To the show, and now we're ready to solve the world's problems. Here we go. So let's start by talking a little bit about history. Are all of you, I mean, I know, Brad, that you and Barry are. Katie, are you as well a big fan of history? Is that part of what excites you about finding out what the dead have to say?
I think I'm becoming a bigger fan of history. Honestly, being with these guys, because, you know, they're big history buffs. Like, I really am more on the science side. Like, I'm pretty excited about the science of things, because that's how I grew up, was around science. But, you know, having them where it's kind of a mix of the two, I've kind of learned to appreciate it a lot more.
Right, because it is a lot of what paranormal investigating is about, right? Brad, how about for you? The historical aspect important? You guys do a lot of investigations around historical things, especially that with a lot of Ghost Lab, right, was trying to unlock the history.
Yeah, is Brad even on here?
Oh, is Brad not on there? Barry, answer that for me. I thought you guys were together.
That.
Okay. okay, Brad's not
well,
here.
Well, no, he's,
right,
no,
he's,
at, he's
yeah,
at his house, but he's supposed to. Yeah, I thought he called him. I guess not. I'm going to go ahead and answer it for him, though. History is very important to us, and when we talk about history, it's not necessarily like the prehistory you get of the place, which is very important, but we like to catch, we like to get our history from the actual findings that we find, the EVPs or the things, the actual evidence we collect to actually confirm historical facts. And those are probably the best piece of evidence that we like to gather, and they're really exciting when you can confirm an event or a person's name or something that is actually at that place and confirm that they were there or they were not there. So, yeah, history is huge in our investigations.
Yeah, and I think for me, too. I mean, if it's whether it's the history of the United States or it's the history of a family, unlocking what the dead have to say. I mean, first of all, we don't spend enough time with the living listening to the older folks in our lives, right? We're not even getting the history from the living. We're especially not getting it from the dead. And it interests me because in my practice, obviously, as a medium, I speak to a lot of people. A lot of people want to speak to their relatives that have passed on. Very, very rarely does anybody ask a question about the history of the family. Mostly people want to know, like, you know, was grandma mad at me or did mom think I was special? And I understand all of that. For me, and I'm spoiled because I'm in contact with my mom who passed a lot, but I always want to know the family history, like, oh, God, I forgot to ask her about this, or, oh, man, I forgot to ask her about that. And I asked her a lot of stuff when she was alive. But it amazes me that people are not more invested in their history and also in the history of their country, their state, their neighborhoods. And I love that you're interested in finding out the truth through spirits. Now, Barry, have you ever known a spirit to lie?
Well, I mean, we get things that are kind of puzzling. We scratch our head if that, you know, is that the truth or not? But then is that the spirit we're dealing with? Is that some other spirit we're dealing with? Is that some sort of natural phenomenon that came through that has nothing to do with what we're trying to capture? So I don't know necessarily that they're lying to you, or maybe we have the history wrong, and what we're catching is actually
right,
the correct history.
Right.
That's kind of where the research starts. So the investigation is all that, but it's usually afterwards that you really the investigation starts, because you're trying to find out, what do these people mean? What do they mean by this? Or is this correct or not correct? So, yeah, I guess it could be either lying to you or telling you the truth. You've been told a lie up until then. So,
I kind of feel like the truth comes out even more once someone has passed on. I mean, like, I feel like the experiences that we've had, you know, we go in there thinking a certain story, and it seems like it's through, you know, talking to spirits that we actually get the truth behind, you know, what living people are telling us. You know, they're telling us one story, and we go in there and we find something else out entirely that maybe they were trying to cover up, or, you know, maybe they were trying to lie to themselves about, and we kind of go in there and unlock that.
That's beautiful. Yeah, Brad, welcome.
Hey, how's it going?
Doing great. We were just talking about the historical aspect of investigating and how important is it to you that the history be told, the true history be told.
Well, history and paranormal and ghosts and spirits, it goes hand in hand. I mean, because what is history but a time that is basically passed on? And what is a human other than a human, you know, a ghost is a human that's passed on. So that's why whenever we do our investigations, a lot of times we don't even like to know or research the history. We like to kind of see what we get first and then work backwards to see if what is being said matches history. And those are the real cool ones, because it's something that we didn't know that's being told to us by, you know, a spirit or something like that. And we've had several investigations that are like that.
Yes, yes. And I love that. And it's also, you know, you're you're more apt to help more people, and you're more apt to get more information and expand more people's minds if you don't go into a location looking for the history you think you know. Because when you go in looking for something you think you know, you're going in with a narrow scope, right? Because you're looking for that particular 1, 2, 5 thing instead of just letting spirits tell you anything they want to tell you.
Right.
It's
and,
like,
you know,
they always talk about
say you go in there and,
the
they don't talk about the history. Maybe they want to get something else off the chest or, you know, whatever the case may be. You have to just be open to just get whatever it is. And the way we do investigate, it's funny you bring these things up and then it kind of brings it full circle with what you're talking about is, you know, we will go into a place and we'll do like, we call it like a scout or something like that. And that scout is more, we just like to look around. We like to look at the pictures on the wall. We like to, you know, see, you know, just feel the environment. And then if we have our equipment running, if we get voices, if we get video or something like that, it just kind of leads us down a path that we need to go down. Because that preconceived notion is what gets a lot of people in trouble. Like you said, you go in looking for a spirit named Bill who, you know, like to build model airplanes. You know, that's exactly what you're gonna try to find. And it just, your mind is so focused that you lose sight of everything else that might be in the room or in the environment.
Yeah, that's what we do though, right? And that's why I don't prepare questions for radio. Because if I prepare questions, then that's the answers I'm looking for and none others. If I send you the questions ahead of time, which I think is the true death of radio, then you're only thinking about talking about the things in those questions. And there could be some utter magic you all have to share with the world, and nobody's going to get it because of the narrow scope of me basically telling you what to talk about. And I think it's
right.
The same thing sometimes with a paranormal investigation, even getting EVPs, right, electronic voice projections, that we'll go in and we just want one answer. So we'll ask the same question of the spirit 100 times. How about just turn the thing on and let the spirit talk?
We've caught probably the majority of our EVPs by just letting it roll, and then we just have casual conversation amongst ourselves, and something comes through. It's very rare you're going to get the, what is your name, and something responds back. Now, it's happened before, but probably 90% of the time we get our stuff when we're just not even paying attention.
Yeah, it's true. I'm sorry, Katie, what were you going to say?
I don't remember. I think I said the power of suggestion, which, I mean, Brad pretty much already touched on. It's another one of those, like, we've been talking about that a lot, where, you know, I think kind of the death of paranormal investigating is a lot of stuff that kind of lends to that, where you're just going in there and you're, you know, trying to make up a story on the fly based on, you know, expectations that you have, and you miss out on the point of being there.
I could not agree more. I completely agree with you. And I think that it's so important that we, as people who are truth seekers, right, and historical seekers and paranormal investigators, that we don't narrow that scope because, look, there's certain historical facts, and I'm using facts in finger quotes that nobody can see, but maybe you can hear the air whooshing through the air around them, that we think we know about anything, right? You guys did, my favorite ghost lab was about when you tried to contact John Wilkes Booth. There are things that we think we know about the Lincoln assassination, things we think we know about John Wilkes Booth, but it's always with history a little bit of think, because unless you hear it right out of somebody's mouth, and even then they could be lying, you don't know everything. So sometimes when we see historical places investigated paranormally, we hear the same answers again and again. We get the facts at the first part of the show, and then the second part of the show is trying to get those same answers. So you watch 5, 10, 20 shows, listen to 100 radio shows, read 100 books about a certain location, and you're basically just getting the same facts over and over and over again. But meanwhile, this location has, you know, 25, 50, 100, 500 years of history. I would think we would be seeking all the answers that we don't have instead of trying to get validation for what we do. And I think maybe now that the community, the paranormal community, is becoming more established, and the, you know, the statistics, right, of every year how many more people believe in the paranormal is astounding, maybe now we're going to open up to try to find out maybe some things we didn't know and not just constantly trying to get confirmation of what we do. Have you, Barry, run up against that when you guys, especially when you were doing Ghost Lab, where people just want to hear what they know?
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, it's kind of the downfall of paranormal is with the, you know, the TV shows, and it's all, it's just kind of the cookie cutter, the template that people set up for these shows is, you know, they're going to really famous places. They're finding the same stuff that the other show found. There's no progression, or there's no critical thinking in anymore to us. And that's kind of where we come. We're starting a kind of a resurgence back onto the paranormal scene, and we're bringing back that critical thinking, or even debunking things like that that you don't really see anymore. But definitely, you know, the same old is just getting boring. And like you said, there's other historical. We might have one building that has, you know, multiple generations of all cool history that's completely different from one another. Maybe it was a bar at one time, then it was a brothel, then it was a hotel, then it was a, you know, all of those facets of that building have different eras of history. And it seems like they focus on, you know, one of them because maybe it's more exciting for TV, or maybe it's just more interesting, but there's other things that you could be looking for also. Like you said, finding stuff you don't know. We already know this other stuff. Let's find the stuff we don't know.
Yeah, yeah. And it's interesting how sometimes you go for something and you wind up with something else. I think I talked about this a little bit maybe the last time when you guys were on Haunted Playground, but I went with a team who investigated historical places, which I love because, you know, it's such a history nut, to Fort MacArthur. And in San Pedro, which is one of the most haunted cities in Southern California, and Southern California is, like, psycho haunted, because that's where the Battle of Los Angeles allegedly took place with off-worlders and extraterrestrials and UFOs. And so everybody was there investigating for the UFOs, and they have a little war museum in there of all the different wars, and they have, you know, jeeps and tanks and uniforms and maps. And I was just wandering through there because sometimes – when I'm very open psychically, a lot of people can be a lot. So I will just sort of drift off somewhere where there aren't a lot of people. And I was wandering around this closed museum, and this, you know, kind of sad World War II soldier attached himself to me. I picked him up around the World War II Jeep, and he was basically like living in there, but he didn't really know where he was or why he was there, and everything looked familiar, but it is in the wrong place, and it didn't look right, and you know, I spent like probably an hour just kind of walking around talking to him and trying to explain everything to him. So sometimes you go for one thing, but then this other really magic thing happens. And that's kind of the beauty of doing paranormal investigation, right?
Exactly. And,
yeah.
You know, it could have the opposite effect too. Like we were on a show the other day, we talked about an investigation we had in Arkansas where, you know, when you're dealing with TV, of course, you kind of know why you're going there, you know, because of, you know, productions and things like that. So we were going in there thinking it was the Cherokee Trail of Tears was kind of in that area. We were looking for that type of activity, and that was kind of where we're going. But Brad can tell you that it turned out to be completely different. I mean, totally bizarre after that.
Yeah, it was, you know, you talk about with the family history at that point in time, and we were getting names. We were getting EVPs of names, one after the other. And I'm not talking one, two, three names. I'm talking six, seven, eight, nine names. And every time we brought up a name, the family would just get, like, stone-faced and, like, yeah, where are you coming up with it? They knew something. They told us, cut the cameras. Cut the cameras. We're like, what's going on? Apparently, There was some history in that family of some, you know, abuse and molestation and things like that. And every single one of the names that we brought up were involved in that abuse. And they did not want that to air. And basically that episode had to take a turn because they, you know, the production company didn't get the release forms, and, you know, they didn't want to sign them at that point in time. And, you know, it really turned into a kind of a debacle, because it would have been a great, it would have been a great TV show, you know, obviously, because it shows the true nature of how paranormal works. You think one thing and it turns into something completely different that you weren't expecting. But, you know, because of the sensitivity of the situation, we just couldn't, you know, we couldn't air it. We couldn't air what really happened.
I mean, we've had a few episodes like that, like West Virginia. West Virginia was another one that we had where we went in, you know, looking for the kids, the one at the haunted amusement park.
Shawnee.
The kids that died. Yeah, Lake Shawnee. And, you know, we're trying, like, we're in there trying to talk to these kids, like, you know, night after night, weren't getting anything. And then, you know, the couple times we're just kind of minding our own business, we got the Native American chanting.
Yeah, the chanting, you got the something that's like a war cry. There was just all kinds of stuff that was pointing at Native American. And we come to find out that not only was that a burial ground, was that a, you know, a Native American burial ground, but there was some very poignant history with white settlers there. There was a massacre that happened there on the very spot. And it's like, we didn't know any of this. We were literally at an abandoned amusement park. You know, how creepy is an abandoned amusement park and ghosts of kids? That's what we were after.
Yeah,
and we ended up with Native American stuff. So it takes twists and turns all the time. But that's what we like about it. That's what makes it fun, you know?
Yeah. No, I completely agree. That's amazing. What about Native American spirits? I was just out shooting a film in Joshua Tree, again, looking for off-worlders. I'm always with the ufology people for some reason. And I was sort of there, you know, using my spidey senses to identify earth spirits and elementals and different things that were there that were not in the sky but that came from the ground. And, man, the out in the middle of nowhere in Joshua Tree, the Native American spirits, I mean, it's so heavy that it's the energy is intense. So everywhere we go in our country, in the United States, right, there's going to be Native American energy because it was all here before white settlers were here. So when you go to pick up EVPs, is it different? I mean, are the Native spirits more reluctant to communicate because, you know, their spirituality was so much about this is our business and stay out of our business?
On the contrary, actually, I was thinking of the Institute of Texas Culture, Barry.
Yeah. We got good Native American evidence.
Go ahead,
Brent. Oh, so anyway, okay. Texas, of course, is heavy with Native American history. I mean, we're all sorts of different tribes and cultures all through Texas. And here in South Texas, we here actually in San Antonio is a museum of all Texas history, and part of the museum had Native American stuff, and we were there, and two pieces of evidence that we caught there. One was just like we talked about before. We're sitting around in this cave. They made this man-made cave, and in the cave had some pottery from the Caddo Indian tribe, which is kind of East Texas, kind of swamp areas where they lived. And we're in there, and we're actually singing. We were singing an 80s tune, right? I Want to Be a Cowboy. We're just cracking up and having a good time. And we didn't hear it at the time. When we went back and replayed the EVP, this tribal dance with, drums, chanting, the whole nine yards, as clear as day, started playing in the middle of us singing our song. And it was like, whoa. I mean, it was just like mind-blowing. And that was just, I think it was residual, of course, because it didn't really react with us, but just, you know, he's playing. But then the best one, I think, probably one of the best EVPs we've ever caught as Everyday Paranormal. We Brad and I were in there by ourselves, and we're talking. And we were talking to, like, what's the difference between a medicine man and a shaman? We're just kind of just having this discussion. And all of a sudden, we heard this later. We didn't hear it at the time, but we got an EVP that said, and it just sounded just like this, "Koo-ah-ah." That's what the voice said. It sounded like an old woman. And it said, "Koo-ah-ah." Brad called me on the phone. He found it. He called me. It sounds Hawaiian or something. It's like very phonetic, you know. And so we looked it up. And it we found a Caddo to English dictionary, and it's Caddo for welcome. And that's what all the pottery was from the Caddo tribe. And it means welcome. And so we have this very, it sounded like an older woman saying it, but it was like, and it was clear. And it, well, I guess we were being welcomed, because we're in there investigating their stuff. I guess we were welcome to do that. I guess they were, you know, giving us permission to do that because we got welcome.
That's fantastic. Do you find, Katie, that most of the spirits are welcoming, that most spirits that you encounter are welcoming?
That's a really hard question to answer, actually. I mean, it's a healthy mix. Like, I don't subscribe to, like, you know, people like to think that, you know, like, demonic stuff is, like, so prevalent. Like, I don't really jump on that. I personally haven't encountered stuff like that very often, if at all. I mean, I've definitely had, like, darker stuff or, like, you know, we were talking the last time we were on the show about this. But, I mean, I think it's been a pretty healthy mix, at least in my experience, between, you know, friendly spirits, like welcoming spirits, and then kind of the more aggressive ones. It just really depends on where you are.
Yeah. Do you think that the non-friendly spirits, are they always aggressive? Or can you have a non-aggressive, like not a dark spirit, but just a regular spirit who's kind of like, you know what, just back off, not your business?
I mean, definitely. Just like, you know, you have grumpy people, like, if something doesn't want you in its house or, you know, want you in whatever area it's in, it doesn't necessarily have to be aggressive, but, you know, it can make it known that it really doesn't want you there.
South Pittsburgh.
That one I would definitely say on the darker side. That was, honestly, that those EVPs that we got, like that one in particular that said, "I'm not scared of you," is probably the creepiest EVP I think I've ever heard in my life. Like, it still gives me goosebumps when I hear it.
Yeah. It's hard, right? I mean, it's because all that stuff is sort of like you guys, too. You have to find a way to sort of shake it off and go on with your lives when something aggressive like that or negative like that is in your face. Brad, how do you sort of cleanse it all off at the end of the day so you're not going home to your family and you still have all this, you know, dark residual energy on you from just unpleasant stuff?
That's funny that you asked that question, because I really don't. You see, I'm of the type, I'm not the cleansing type. I'm evidence-based. I go in and we kick the door down. We want to get evidence, and we want to hear stuff. And aggressive or friendly, we don't care. So by doing that, sometimes if we get a real aggressive one, it actually will attach itself to you and follow you home. And we've had that happen before. We were in South Texas, and it was a ghost town. And Barry and I were – it was like 3 in the morning out in the middle of nowhere in this mansion, this old abandoned mansion found is a ghost town. And we hear a voice that just comes, it's like 2 feet in front of us. And it's, blah, 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 blah. It says that. Like that. It's not a voice, it sounds mumbly. And we're like, oh, this is crazy. Well, we get settled down, we go home. We live about an hour and a half away. Barry drops me off at my house, and he goes home. And Johnny Hauser, who runs the Velisca Axe Murder House, happened to be with us. He was in the back seat at the time. Barry says he turns off the truck to get it. Everything's off, and he hears blah, 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 in his truck. Now, at the same time, I didn't find this out till the next morning. At the same time I get home, I have a child gate that's upstairs. It's at the top of the stairs, a metal child gate. The thing just starts going crazy. It starts shaking and rattling by itself. And so whatever it was followed us home. Well, the kicker to the story is the next day we listened to the playback because we recorded that sound. It didn't sound like blah, blah, blah when we listened to it. It says, "I want to kill you before you leave."
Oh.
That's exactly what it said. It's very, as clear as day. It sounded clear on the recording. So, yeah, it followed us home, probably because we were asking for it. But, you know, that's kind of, not that I'm asking for that, but that stuff doesn't bother me. Because I'm too strong of a personality to let anything stick around.
But
is the way I look at it.
And I'm not telling you what to do, but don't you want to sort of cleanse your environment where, you know, people that you love are, to make sure that nasty stuff isn't around?
as long as I've been doing this, it seems that just my personality alone kind of keeps everything at bay. I've seen shadows in the house. I've seen different things happen. It's just me personally. I know some people like to, you know, do a full cleansing ritual and stuff when they do it. It's just not my style, and it really never has been. And I guess until, I hate to be one of those that where an ounce of prevention is you know, better than a pound of cure. You know, I hope that something doesn't happen one day to make me change my mind. But, you know, as of now, that's kind of the way I roll.
I get it. Well, Barry, how about you?
I'm kind of...
Oh, Katie, you're up. Katie, you next.
I was going to say, I've actually had a similar experience myself, but I don't have Brad's strong personality, so I actually had the opposite effect. So when I did the show World's Biggest Ghost Hunt, we were at Pennhurst. And I went in there and, you know, thought it like any other investigation. And, we had some pretty crazy stuff happen while we were there. A friend of mine that was there with me actually had something attached to him, and we kind of witnessed that entire thing. I've never watched something like that happen, but it was one of the scariest things I've ever seen in my life. And, you know, after that was all over, I thought, okay, we're done. You know, the craziness happened. Everything's over. Well, you know, when I got home, I started having stuff happening in my house. And, I always kind of make fun of the paranormal movies, like Paranormal Activity and stuff like that, because, you know, the way that they portray, you know, hauntings, it's just, it seems so glamorized. It's like, you know, stuff is happening all the time, nonstop, and, you know, most of us that do this, it's, you know, you realize that it doesn't happen like that. You'll be sitting in a room for hours at a time, and, like, one tiny thing happens, and then maybe the next day something else, but the stuff that was going on in my house was just back to back to back over, like, a 3 or 4 day period, and, I mean, I was seeing, you know, a shadow figure walking through my living room. I saw it 3 or 4 different occasions. Shortly after that, my dog was barking at the bathroom door that I had shut, and he doesn't act like that, and so I went in to check it out, and there was a electric toothbrush that was dancing its way. It was turned on and dancing its way across the counter, and this happened twice, and it was just constant. I mean, this was more activity than I've ever experienced that concentrated. You know, the whole time that I've been doing this. And, you know, the kicker was I actually woke up one morning. This was like kind of the last thing that happened. I woke up one morning and my boyfriend at the time, who was living with me, he was outside with our dog, and I knew for a fact he wasn't in the house. And, you know, I'd gone out into the living room. I confirmed he wasn't there. I actually saw him out the window down the street. And I was, you know, making the bed, putting the pillows back on, and I heard clear as day his voice say my name. And I've never experienced that before. Like, I've heard voices before, places that we've been in, but I've never had an experience where it's somebody that I know's voice addressing me directly. And that, I mean, I had to sit down because it was just, you know, back-to-back activity. It kind of felt a little threatening. It felt like something a little more negative in the house, and then that happened. It was like, okay, this is personal, and it's addressing me.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's kind of like when people say when you're on an investigation, like you said, Katie, you sit around for like 4 hours and wait, but then it's in your house, and it's all over you. It's kind of like, you know, when people are on dating apps, like if you're pursuing someone, it might take them 3 or 4 days to get back to you, but if they're pursuing you, it's like the text never stops. And I think it's the difference in when you're investigating, oftentimes you're pursuing a spirit. So it's a whole different thing. But when they're after you, you better back up because they come hard. And you're right. It's like nonstop stuff because whether they're trying to get you to just leave them alone or whether they're trying to get you to pay attention or they want you to get the message or whatever the story is, you better move fast. If you're going to get rid of them. And I think that's the problem with something following you home, right, is that you never know what's going to follow you home, and you never know what level of aggressiveness they're going to be at. So you have to just sort of keep your environment, you know, clean. When I work, because I grew up in a horribly haunted house, I don't ever do seances or pendulum or any of that stuff in my own house. I'll do like oracle cards, but I do a lot of reading where I live. So when I open stuff up and I open up that channel, I have to tell spirit, no, nothing comes through. You know, you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Because you'll pull something. Sometimes it's something as well-meaning as somebody's pet, right? And then it won't leave you alone. And that's kind of sweet. You know, I always laugh that I did a reading for a lady's dead Sphinx cat years ago. And every once in a while when I'm driving, I look over, the thing's still sitting in the passenger seat laughing because it knows that I want to get a Sphinx cat. It's like, you got that Sphinx cat yet? But that's a cute little cat with a nice personality. Sometimes you get somebody's aggressive grandpa, right, who's got an axe to grind, and the family members are gone, and now he sees that you see him, and he won't leave you alone. So that's why I'm a big fan of, maybe I'm not as tough as Brad, I'm a big fan of the cleansing, because I just want to, I don't want that stuff in my real life. It's so much of my work life, I need to have some part of my life that doesn't have spirits in it, you know? Barry, how about you? Where do you stand on that?
I just bathe in unleaded gasoline when I get back home. No. I'm the same page from Brad. I like I said, we're evidence-based, and we have to kind of go in with, you know, kind of kick. Well, we call it the John Wayne approach. We kick down the door, kick ass, take names. We gather evidence.
Yeah.
And then we just kind of worry about the stuff later on. And like I said, I've brought things on. You heard the truck story and all that, but I have things in my house. But like I said, I also have a strong personality, and nobody in my family has never been harmed. They have – people in my family have experienced things in this house. But, you know, I live in the house I grew up. My grandma, my dad, they all passed away, not in the house, but, you know, I think remnants of them are here. It's very comforting. It's not something that's scary.
Nice.
But
no, that's nice.
Yeah, we just you know, yeah, it's a gamble, and a lot of people don't probably agree with that, but that's just how we roll. That's how we've been doing it for the last, you know, 15 years or so, 16 years of doing this stuff, and it's worked so far, and we've caught some really cool evidence and haven't been hurt yet. Brad got scratched one time. That's probably the only physical thing that's ever happened that to us. We've been pushed, we've been touched, you know, kind of hard or aggressively, but nothing to hurt us. So,
but when it happens, we're like, "Yeah, did you catch that? did you record
right.
that?"
You don't ever have family members tell you, like, "Oh yeah, there's something in the house."
Yeah, time to time, my wife, he brought your work home with you, or you know. But she thinks they all think it's fascinating too. They think it's cool and neat.
My son is terrified of it though. Yeah, my eighth grade son he's terrified of it though. He does not like to hear stories. He does not like. But my 16-year-old daughter, she'd be right out there with me. She'd be slaying vampires if she could.
That's awesome. That's hysterical. What Brad? What are your dream places? Where do you really want to investigate? If somebody gave you like three places that you could just have and do, what would be your places?
The White House is one of them. Just because the sheer amount of history and the ghost stories that have come from credible people, you know, over the years, you know, really like to go check that out. The Alamo, which is only 20 minutes from my driveway, which is impossible to get into because of the, you know, it's a shrine, it's a sacred place, and, you know, the ghost hunting is kind of looked down upon, but, you know, just to be able to be in that area with no one around would be, you know, for someone who's born and raised in San Antonio, that would be the pinnacle. You said three places. Well, I got to think of it because those two are always top of the list. Oh, I would like to go check out the Tower of London. And, you know, that whole place. So out of the United States, I've always wanted to check out the Tower of London. Just because, again, mainly because of the history, you know, I'm a big history buff, but because of the, you know, thousand, you know, 1,200 years of history or whatever it is that it's associated with that place.
Yeah, I agree about the White House 100%. I've always wanted to find out what was going on in the White House ever since the stories of everything that Abraham Lincoln saw And I always wonder if people see Abraham Lincoln. I always wonder, do people see him?
Winston,
because
Winston
he was
Churchill.
So psychic when he was alive.
Winston Churchill said he saw Abraham Lincoln in the White House when he was visiting there. And that's one of the credible people that I was talking about. You've heard that story, right?
Absolutely, yes. And they put all the big guests in the Lincoln bedroom, right? So is he just, is he wandering around? I mean, it's a kind of an interesting thing. I've always, whenever I thought about meeting a president, a current president or first lady, my first question would always be, did you see Lincoln when you were in there? Like, that's what I want to ask all of them.
Right. And, you know, living in there, it's got to be, you know, you're a president. Oh, great, I'm the president of the United States. I get to live in the White House. Well, they just put you up for 4 years in one of the most haunted houses in the United States. Good luck sleeping at night.
Right, exactly. Enjoy. Fantastic. Yes. Katie, how about you? What are your top three?
I don't know if I have a specific list. I have one that my reasoning is actually kind of funny, but I also want to go to the Alamo, but it has nothing to do with Texas and actually only a little bit to do with paranormal, but I'm a huge Phil Collins fan, and so I have a dream to investigate the Alamo with Phil Collins. I just think that would be amazing.
Oh my God! Is that your thing? Like that? Is that your like wish list?
That's
Phil Collins is the number one collector of Alamo memorabilia, so he's always down here.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I guess I should have mentioned that for people that didn't know that.
He was probably like Phil Collins, huh? Okay.
Yeah. This past summer, I actually went there. Yeah, this past summer I actually went there. He has his personal collection was on display of the things that he collects. I mean, he's got a lot of like personal diary of Santa Ana. He's got other things that, you know, pretty cool stuff.
Really? That's interesting. How did you get into Phil Collins, Katie?
I grew up with him. I mean, my mom kind of introduced me when I was real little, and I mean, he's amazing. He's a legend. So, Genesis is touring for the last time, and I'm trying to actually go over there for my birthday because it's like right on my birthday. So that's my thing. Yeah, I guess I would forfeit like having three places just to do the Alamo with Phil Collins.
Really? Okay, so that's what it's just the one thing for you, just the Alamo, Phil Collins. It's interesting because when I was in college, this now I'm going to sound 100. When I was in college and CDs first came out, okay, now I sound 100. That's the sound of everybody under 30 turning off their radio right now. I had this whole thing that I wanted to investigate all my vinyl and figure out what vinyl I liked so much that I wanted to actually rebuy it on CD. And my first three CDs were his first three solo albums. That was the top of the list. And I still listen to his albums, and they still are magic. So I think if that's your 1, 2, and 3, fantastic. I support you 100%.
Yeah, Phil Collins so old, he renamed the group Genesis to Revelation.
Barry, how about you? What's your 1, 2, and 3?
Probably the Alamo with Ozzy Osbourne. Since he's all about to be there. I don't know if you know the Ozzy dude. He pissed on the Alamo years ago, so that'd be kind of cool. So, yeah, of course the Alamo. The second one, I like to do some of the castles, like over in Ireland. When I was in the Navy, I visited Ireland and went to the Blarney Castle and things like that. Old over there is like old.
Right.
And so it'd be really cool to kind of have maybe some different type of responses or evidence that you would collect in that kind of atmosphere. And then I'm kind of twisted. I'd actually like to go to like Jonestown or something like something like just crazy where, you know, a massive amount of people died in a matter of minutes to see what, I know it's not even there. It's just jungle, but just to see if there's any remnants of that there in Jonestown. Would be kind of cool.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yesterday I had my friends, the Booth Brothers, on. They've been on my show so many times, and they were talking about Auschwitz. I don't ask everybody this question. It's weird that it came up 2 days in a row. But we were talking about places like Gettysburg, right? Places where an enormous amount of horrible energy happened at one time. and how thick the residual energy is there. I mean, even the Queen Mary, right, from the time when it was used as a hospital ship, it is so thick with that kind of energy. And my mom was also a psychic medium, and she was booking locations for regional. She was involved in the embroidery guild. My mom was a psychic stitcher. And they asked her if she wanted to use the Queen Mary, and they courted her, and they bought her dinner at Sir Winston's. And she called me the next day, and she said, "Oh, honey, I can't take a bunch of ladies there. It's like a hospital." And she didn't even know it had been used as a hospital. She just felt that energy of the sick and the dying, and didn't want to subject a bunch of people to that. So I think that you know, places where, like Jonestown, right, where all that death happened like instantaneously. You have to ask, is the residual energy going to be thicker there? And I think that's an interesting topic.
And I tell you, I was at the 9/11 Museum in New York just a couple months ago, and I haven't been to the museum. The museum, you actually go at down underneath. You're actually in the foundation of the building, and they have like the beams where the planes hit and all that kind of stuff. And let me tell you, it's an emotional place for one, but my wife was getting headaches. My kids were getting headaches. I felt very funny. That place, I think, had, and I'm not psychic, but that place has so much energy. It is it's very strange. It's very depressing, obviously.
Yes.
But there's a lot there still, energy-wise. Let me tell you, it was very weird.
I agree. I went out to New York in 2006 to do a play. And we were like, oh, let's go to the 9/11 memorial. It'll be so great to be there. At that point, they were just bulldozing the foundation. So that's how far they were. They were bulldozing the foundation for the new building. And I was sick to my stomach for a day. And I'm tough. Like, I'm not one of those people who's like, oh, it's some residual energy. I got a fever. Like, I'm not like that at all. I keep the channel open all the time. I'm constantly dealing with energies. But, man, I was literally unbelievably nauseated for a day. And then you have to wonder,
I believe
is it spirit? Mm-hmm. Is it chemicals from all that? Or is it a combination? But, yeah, there is so much energy there. It was interesting to hear that it's still like that, because that was a long time ago. So it's 15 years later, it still has that
very much, very much so. Very, very powerful when you walk in.
Yeah. It must be even more oppressing to be underneath the ground, under the building. That must be a lot.
It is, because you'd have to go there, because it's like you have the retaining wall that keeps the water out from the river. You have the things that you saw on TV, the makeshift, where the police spray painted like the different areas. Those are there. The stairs that people were escaping from are still in the same spot. You just happen to go down the escalator next to it and look at it. It's bizarre.
Oh, wow.
I recommend everyone to go, but like I said, it's something else.
Yeah, that would be a very interesting, very heartfelt place to investigate.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm sure not as much residual energy as investigating anywhere with Phil Collins, but still a large amount of residual energy. So what do you guys have coming up? What's next? What's going on? I just looked at the clock and realized we're winding down, so I want to make sure you get some time to talk about some exciting things that are making you happy and thrilled.
Well, we actually have a whole bunch of stuff going on. In fact, today we just announced we're actually going to have our own podcast starting up. We're going to debut on Halloween. It's called Everyday Paranormal, the Podcast. And same thing, you can find it in any where you find your normal podcast, your favorite podcast. And it's going to be a little different. We're actually going to go over all the investigations we've ever been on, explaining them, talking in depth about them, going over evidence, really dissecting the different investigations, ghost lab, pre-ghost lab, post-ghost lab. We're even going to go on new investigations and talk about them on the podcast. We're going to talk about folklore. We're going to talk about other controversial things in the paranormal, just kind of an all-inclusive paranormal podcast. And so we're excited. So it's me, Katie, and Brad doing it. We've teamed up with Archlight Media. They're going to be our host company. We partner with them doing this podcast. And
we're expecting big things out of it. And then later on in the year, you might see a video or so come out of us actually investigating that people can watch. So that's something we're still working on also. But, yeah, we got a lot of stuff going on here recently.
That's very exciting, and I'm so proud of you guys. What do you think, I'll ask Brad you, what do you think the next phase of the paranormal is? What do you think, like, the paranormal community 2.0 post-COVID is going to be? What do you think the next phase of seeking is?
Well, I think there's going to be a resurgence of people who want to get out and see these things because they spent a year and a half, 2 years, basically in their homes, not getting out a lot, not being able to go to different places. So I really think that people are going to be out and wanting to, you know, physically explore these places. For as far as paranormal investigation goes, I think that, you know, maybe this is just me hoping, but I'm hoping it turns more from the entertainment television side of things to the more documentary historical investigative side of things. I hope that there's a resurgence, we've always done that, but I hope that there's a trend that goes that way and gets away from the fantastic and the spectacle that's on TV to, you know, true life stories and things of that nature. I'm biased because that's what I like, but I really think that's what the paranormal is all about, and I think that's what people can really relate to and not just being entertained by, you know, the craziness that they see. So we're definitely trying to foster that by doing the things that we're doing. That's how we're going to, you know, conduct ourselves and conduct our podcast and our film and our documentaries and everything that we're doing. But I see people based on the comments that they make with us on Facebook that's really what they want to see too, and they want to get back to the basics of the paranormal.
And I love that, and I want that too. Interesting, because so when you guys were on Haunted Playground before, the four of us, you three and me, we started talking about, you know, the aggressiveness in the community and everybody looking for a demon and everybody wanting the negative and everybody wanting the sensationalism. And literally the energy was so thick before us, between the four of us, that it cut the broadcast off. I have never had that happen in 27 years of radio, where I have literally lost each one of my guests and then myself been kicked off and not able to get back on. I really believe it was a big force of energy because we were telling the truth, right? That just because we as paranormal investigators are collecting evidence and going places where there may be negativity and sadness and darkness, it doesn't mean that everything we do as investigators needs to be sensationalized. And God knows it's in the psychic community too, right? There, psychics are going to tell everybody they have a curse on them, that there's a demon in their living room, that a black witch has damned you to hell on the solstice. I mean, all this, right? It's sensationalized to scare people, and it's fun to be scared when it's fun to be scared. But it's not fun to be scared when you're making everybody scared to live their lives. And so I love the idea of getting into the history, getting into the truth. Trust me, there's enough scary stuff out there, right? You don't have to be sensationalizing. And for God's sakes, everything is not a demon. Katie, back me up.
Exactly. I would say, real can be scary. There is scary stuff out there. But, I mean, it really is just about keeping it real, you know, like when it's scary stuff, you handle it accordingly. But, you know, most of the time it's not. It's, you know, grandma, or it's, you know, the lady that used to work at, you know, the restaurant down the street, whatever it is. You know, and it needs to be handled with realistic intentions. And I don't like the way that, you know, it's over the last, I'd say, 10 years, it's just really kind of taken this turn where it's just about entertaining people. And I don't understand why it's not more commonplace to know that, like, I mean, the truth can be entertaining when you just let it play out the way that it's actually happening. I mean, that is entertaining, and it's educational at the same time.
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. Yeah, Barry, final thoughts for you?
No, not, I think everyone said pretty much, you know, what I've been, you know, thinking this whole show, but I agree. I mean, the whole TV thing has gotten out of hand, and that's kind of, you know, we were in the running for possible another show or whatever. We've been that way for the last 10 years, and you know, we get called by production companies all the time, but nothing seemed to be right for us, and I think it's because we don't want to cave in and do things that we don't want to do. What we want to do is just like that. We want to bring back the basics. We want to bring back the way Ghost Lab was. We want to be very science-minded. We want to debunk things. We want to do more, you know, experiments and things like that. And I think, like Brad said, with the response we've got from our Facebook, you know, viewers, that's what everybody else wants too. And unfortunately, with all the horror movies that have been out in Hollywood, you know, has a big play in what people like, and I think TV kind of follows that trend. And unfortunately, it's getting really hokey and cheesy.
Well, and I think the difference between, you know, well, TV and movies, you know, movies, we know what a scary movie is. We know that Chucky's not real and it's meant to, you know, scare you and all that kind of stuff. But the TV shows that come out there and then basically try to say we are professional paranormal investigators, and, you know, we are telling the truth. And when you know that it's just out there and they're playing grab ass the whole time. And, you know, people will see that and people believe what they see, unfortunately. And it's dangerous, you know, to have all this grab ass going on with the paranormal shows, and people basically think that that's really how it is. And now, who knows? You might have someone with mental health issues out there that takes it seriously, and now you just made them completely paranoid of the world around them because of what you're portraying as real on television. So we definitely want to get away from that.
I agree.
Or, you know,
I agree, 100%. I totally agree. You guys are the best. Where can people find you online? And let's do this again soon.
They go to our website, everydayparanormal.com. We found us on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Our podcast is called Everyday Paranormal, the podcast. Like I said, it'll be on iTunes, iHeartRadio, Spotify, all that good stuff. Comes out on Halloween, Sunday the 31st. And when it gets closer to that, we'll have more details, but that's what we're doing so far. And like I said, we got a lot more things ready to come out, too. So we're excited.
Yeah, we'll be in Las Vegas in December, too. Sheena, I know L.A.'s pretty close. You ought to come out. We'll hang out in Vegas for a weekend.
I'd love to come out and see you. Yeah, let me know. Let me know, and I will come out and see you guys. That would be fun. I love having you all here. Thank you for being here, Brad and Barry and Katie. Thank you for being terrific and for being part of my paratribe. I like to think of myself as an honorary member of Everyday Paranormal. I love you guys so much, and thank you. We'll do this again soon. If you want any info on the show or my guests, RaisingTheVibrationRadio.com, my movement of peace, love, kindness, and unity, RaisingTheVibration.org. I'm at SheenaMetalSpiritual.com for all of your spiritual and paranormal needs. LiveParanormal.com is the network, and find us everywhere syndicated, including Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and you name it, Stitcher, iTunes, we're everywhere. Till I see you next time, seek peace, live in love, lead with kindness, embrace it. Always.